Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Meet or on the rocks. It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. You know, we've spent so much time this week, Gino, talking about the AFC Championship game and kind of mending our wounds. The Senior Bowl has been going on all week in Mobile, Alabama. And I guess we're fortunate that the Bills are in this situation where we're not really talking about any of these prospects because we're talking about actual meaningful football games. But you know, if we're going to talk Senior Bowl, we got to bring in our guy, Thorne Eistrom, our superhero of the spread during the college football season, Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life, to get his thoughts on this week's Senior Bowl in Mobile. Thor, thank you so much for making time for us today, bud.
Of course. Yeah, we're coming off an eventful practice week here in Mobile, and it's good to talk to you boys.
Yeah, Thor, the Bills right now have some questions on the defensive line. Do they bring back Von Miller? What do they do at defensive tackle? Do you move on from Daquan Jones? You need more depth. From everything we're reading in your feed here, this seems like this is a pretty good year maybe to be selecting at the bottom of the first round if you need D-line help.
Sure is, yeah. In particular, that interior defensive line. And we saw some proof of concept of that here in Mobile this week. But, yeah, it probably is the most stacked position group in this year's NFL draft. We got to see Walter Nolan down here, a guy who's trying to make a case that he's a top 20 pick. And you know, saw some other guys that are going to be going day two and round one possibilities. But, yeah, that's where you want to be. And obviously, you guys know I'm a Vikings fan, and it's a similar case for the Vikings, you know, picking there at 24. They're going to be looking at the interior defensive lineman too. But because of how stacked that position group is, you're going to see guys push down the board that probably in a past year would have gone 6-8 slots higher.
We spent a lot of time yesterday, Thor, talking about the Bills' recent early round draft picks. And we heard from Brandon Bean and we heard from Sean McDermott. Both of them mentioned the need for a player like Dalton Kincaid to get bigger and more physical this offseason in order to stay healthy in the NFL. So when you look at the recent history of some of these early round picks that the Bills have made, whether you're talking about Keon Coleman, Cole Bishop, Dalton Kincaid, certainly Kyrie Elam, what do you think the Bills have struggled with in their process here, getting meaningful production early out of these guys in their first and second years of their careers?
Man, that's tough. Like, Kincaid, his struggles surprised me a little bit because that kid he showed such good ball skills that last year at Utah. The Keon Coleman one doesn't surprise me quite as much. You know, he was sort of a one-trick pony. But, that's a hard question for me to answer because, you know, outside of the Coleman one, I didn't disagree with the other two decisions. So, and it's an organization that does a good job otherwise of bringing talent in. So, yeah, that's an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, we're taking a look at some of these Bills offseason moves, and maybe the Bills extend James Cook. They did draft Ray Davis. Ty Johnson is a free agent. Maybe he goes somewhere else. But, Thor, it seems like this is also a pretty decent draft as far as a running back. Your thoughts on the class overall, and in particular, one guy that we're certainly familiar with right down the road. What do you think of LaQuint Allen, the running back out of Syracuse?
I got to talk to LaQuint Allen this week on Wednesday at the media availability. Very nice kid. And we talked about the receiving utility he's going to bring to an NFL offense. You know, it's like, man, LaQuint, I watched a lot of Syracuse this year, and you were the best player on the field in dang near everyone that I was watching. And the cool ways that they deployed him on offense, shifting him into the slot, shifting him to the boundary. You got to see him beating cornerbacks and nickel defenders in college. And we got to see that skill as a receiver here in Mobile. And to the more general question about the, like, if interior defensive line isn't the best position group in this draft, it's running back. I just didn't say running back because it's more of a devalued position. But this is perhaps the best running back class that we have had in a decade. So if you have any openings, like, I would advocate almost every team, you know, take yourself a running back here. That's how deep that position group is.
That's funny. You mentioned the devaluation of the running back position, and it feels like that might be changing a bit with what you saw Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley do this year. And Gino mentioned James Cook, the season he had, and one of the conversations we're going to have is this offseason is whether or not he should be extended when that extension happens, or if running back continues to be devalued at the NFL level, is it more wise for a team like the Bills to maybe get a running back to add to Ray Davis, and then you let James Cook kind of, you know, wear off some of the tread on his tires?
Yeah, I mean, either way, if I'm the Bills, I'm probably taking, like, I'm probably waving goodbye to Ty Johnson. I hope he's not listening right now. But I would, you know, and that's, you know, I'm creating an opening in my running back room so I can get in on the bonanza that is the 2025 running back class in the NFL draft. Because you're going to get a round and a half discount on guys starting in the third round from where they would have gone last year when the running back class was terrible. So I just think in terms of squeezing extra equity out of the value of the picks that you're taking, that's what I would do. The James Cook decision, you know, that'll be interesting to see. But if something went awry there and you needed a starting caliber back, there is going to be plenty. You're going to see a parade of them on day two. On Friday night, last Friday night of April, tune into the NFL draft. You are going to hear a lot of running backs' names called.
We're talking to Thor Nyser, Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life, our guest. He is in an Uber down in Mobile, Alabama. Thor, as far as the position groups that are strong, defensive line and running back, you mentioned, coming out of this week at the Senior Bowl, are there any position groups where you think that it might be a little thin? If you have that need, you might have to reach a little bit.
Wide receiver, for sure. This wide receiver class is way down from some of these classes we've seen the last 5 years. You have only the one guy that appears to be a top 10 prize. I think he is Tetterell McMillan from Arizona. You already start getting questions about the people after that. Like Luther Burden, his stock is down. He's a pure slot. Didn't have as good of a season last season at Missouri. He's probably going to be a mid-first-round pick. Matthew Golden from Texas, probably going to be there. But, like, you're already sort of running out of, like, guys where it's Emeka Egbuka for sure, but he's a slot receiver as well. And then after that, you got questions on a bunch of these guys' evaluations. This would be the year that I would skip wide receiver in the draft, if at all possible.
Thor Nyström, Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life, our guest in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Let's see, Riley Leonard, Jackson Dart, Dylan Gabriel, Jalen Milroe. These are familiar names. They each finished their college careers with established programs. How'd they look this week during practice? And will we see them on the field here come Sundays?
Jalen Milroe probably was one of the biggest stock down guys at the event. That's a guy where if he had a really good pre-draft process, you might have seen the trajectory that you saw with Anthony Richardson a couple years ago coming out of the SEC and rally into the top 10 of the draft. We're going the other way with Jalen Milroe after what I saw the last 3 days here in Mobile. Badly struggled with accuracy, badly struggled staying on time with the passing concept. So typically you'd see him be late. And then the pass would be errant. We did see some of the flashes from his arm. He has an enormous arm, and he is a tremendous athlete. He's going to run in the 4.3s a month from now in Indianapolis at 225 pounds. So the hype will return at that point. But the struggles we saw passing with him in Tuscaloosa and then what we saw out there this week at Mobile, that's a guy I don't know that he can get into the first round anymore. But again, he is going to get a lot of hype there once we get a month from now in Indy.
Tell us about a guy from Long Lake, Minnesota.
Oh, this one warms my heart,
yeah.
Thor. I spent years as a child fishing on Long Lake, Minnesota. And man, I was excited and delighted to see a Gopher prospect from there get a late invite to the game. What's Danny Strigo's story? Because he sure sounds like a Sean McDermott type of player.
Yeah, well, he's one of those we'll play in the parking lot Bear Bryant kind of guys. I mean, like, he went to the Hula Bowl. He was just coming off that week, and then he gets a call on Wednesday night from his agent and is like, because of all the player opt-outs, Jim Nagy wants to know if you'll play in the game on Saturday. Can you hop on a plane? Like, can you start packing now? because we found you a flight in an hour and a half. If you're, you know, we can fly overnight. You got to take two flights here. And he was like, I'm in. So he was down here, and, you know, ESPN or whoever was doing the broadcast, I think it was Clint Kessich, he got to interview him. And it was right when that Danny kid had gotten out onto the field, and he's like, oh, are you, you know, Quint was like, are you excited to get out there or whatever? He was like, well, I got to stretch first. And then Quint, you know, was like, do you know any of the plays? And he was like, no, I've been flying. Like, I just, you know. So it was kind of fun. He did get to get out there yesterday, and where he's really going to get to potentially strut his stuff and hopefully win a couple converts in the NFL community is on Saturday. You know, I mean, it's something that frustrates Nagy every year. On Thursday in particular, you see the opt-outs. Some of these position groups where the guys have been standouts, they start to get thinned out because the kid's agent is like, we showed enough to the NFL. That's how this kid gets his opportunity because of those opt-outs. He is going to be out there quite a bit on Saturday. That's an opportunity, right? You convince someone, and then you can potentially go late day three, you get your shot in the NFL. So good for that kid for hopping on that plane, getting out there yesterday on no sleep, and hopefully he gets some sleep today and tomorrow goes and puts a show on.
Thor, last one for me, and I think of my draft crushes over the years. Last year, Cooper DeJean. Do you have any draft crushes coming out of this week here at Mobile?
I do. I mean, this one is sort of close to home for me, where I went to undergrad at Kansas. I really like Devin Neal, the running back out of Kansas. He's run for over 1,000 yards three straight seasons. He can catch the ball as well. And a 220-pound back with incredible feet. Like, that's what his special sauce is. You don't see backs that big with the footwork that he has. He'll just wipe out defenders or set up defenders to wipe each other out, you know, stringing together some of these violent cuts that he does in the open field. And he showed that footwork here in Mobile and the versatility with the receiving. That's a guy that's probably going to go in round three because of how stacked the running back class is. And I think he's going to be a steal.
Thor, tell us about the work you're doing over there at Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life. As we're getting into your prime season here. This is all you, man. Draft analyst and looking ahead to another season here in the NFL.
We sure are. Yeah. On Sunday, we're going to drop our risers and fallers from this week. You know, we'll take in the game tomorrow and just see if anyone, you know, opens eyes there. But check out Fantasy Life for risers and fallers from the Senior Bowl on Sunday. We recorded an episode this morning of risers and fallers from the practices that you can check out on Fantasy Life's YouTube page. And as you boys know, we're going to be going position by position with the scouting report, starting to stack those. And then we're going to work all the way up to the NFL draft a week before or so every year, putting out the Thor 500 with the 500 comps as well on the big board. So check all that out at Fantasy Life.
How many words are you going for in the Thor 500? And what's your record, and do you have a number in mind for this year?
I will make James Joyce, the author of Ulysses, blush with how many words that we drop on the 2025 NFL draft class. And you guys know this is a labor of love. So, I can't wait to dive deeper into some of these other prospects. And some prospects here that caused me to be like, man, I didn't see that in college. I got to get back to the tape. There was this Arkansas receiver, Isaac Tesla, that came up from a subdivision. And this past year at Arkansas, they had a crowded receiver room. Their quarterback is not very accurate. But that Isaac Tesla kid was opening my eyes in practice. He's a bigger frame. He has speed, and he can make plays on the ball downfield. So it's just an example of a guy where it's like, I got to get back in and watch that guy's tape. But, it's always a fun time, boys.
Thor, safe travels back up north. Appreciate your time today.
Appreciate you guys. We'll talk soon.
There's Thor Nystrom. Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life joined us earlier here in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia from Mobile, Alabama, as the Senior Bowl practices wrap up and the game coming up this weekend.
Can we talk about the running backs here for a second? Because Ty Johnson's an unrestricted free agent. He was asked, hey, you know, he basically said, look, I'd like to come back, but you know, it's not up to him. You know, talk to my agent kind of thing. That's probably a good thing, right? If other teams are looking at, wait a second, do we want to go spend money here or do we want to draft a guy in the mid rounds? Because, yes, you could get somebody cheaper. I get that. But I really like Ty Johnson. I hope the Bills find a way to get him back.
The question would be to me, is Josh Allen go with keeping Ty Johnson? Like, if Josh Allen wants Ty Johnson, then Ty Johnson will be the third down back for the Buffalo Bills next season.
Did you not see the catch in the Denver game?
Of course.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. Yeah. As far as a guy who can be technically your third running back on this team that can be doing wheel routes and stuff?
I just start thinking, though, the thought process has always been in recent years, because of how devalued running backs have become, that you can move off of running backs. You don't have to invest a lot in a running back. And some of that has shifted a little bit with the performance of Saquon, with the performance of Derrick Henry this year. How much are the Bills willing to invest in James Cook? Or do they say, because this is a draft class at running back like we haven't seen in over 10 years, do we find the next James Cook? Or do we have the next James Cook in Ray Davis? And do we find the next Ray Davis in this draft?
I think you don't need to draft the next James Cook. Here's why. Because that is the one position danger. You just plug and play for the most part. But if you're going to spend... You know, you want that next guy. It's at least a second round pick. What message would that be saying? I don't need James Cook mine to be sideways.
Well, I think James Cook got a vote of confidence. Like, I don't think we've ever heard from a coach in yesterday's end of season press conference from Sean McDermott. I don't know that I've ever heard Sean McDermott gush about a running back the way he did over James Cook, and it's deservedly so. James Cook was dialed in this season.
I am not over this yet. I'm over the officiating, but why aren't we talking more about why wasn't your best player in this game on the field? We talked to 13 Wham's Dan Fates, and Dan said, well, it's the rotation, and you do what you do. You're not deviating from your plan there. Okay, but this is the drive to save your season and win the game. And there's 3.5 minutes left on the clock. You're not passing every down. You want to win in a walk-off sort of fashion, do you not? Yes, the Chiefs once upon a time scored with 13 seconds. I get that. But James Cook should have been out there that last drive. And the speculation in my mind was like, oh, was he okay? Why yeah. wasn't he out there?
No, it wasn't an injury. It was as simple as, well, we're in a passing down situation.
No, they weren't, though.
But that's the way they were viewing it.
They shouldn't have been.
No, it was late in the game. Third down or passing down situations, it's always Ty Johnson out there. Unless you get to a spot where Ty Johnson needs a blow and then you bring in James Cook, which is what McDermott was saying yesterday in his press conference. You can say maybe you see James Cook if that drive extends, but I'm with you. Why wouldn't he be out there with 3:33 left? Just play your best players. The season is on the line here. You can deviate a little bit. That said, Cook isn't the best in pass protection, and maybe because it's a passing situation, that's why you have Cook on the sideline.
But it wasn't passing. That's what I'm saying, though. If there was 2 minutes left, okay, I'd listen to that. Yeah. 3.5 for Josh Allen.
Still go back to, if we're going to go back to Sunday and rip the Band-Aid off again, every year it feels like Josh Allen does his part. It feels like the offense does their part. We're being critical of this final series because they fell short, but damn it, the defense gave up 32 points to Kansas City. They gave up more points to Kansas City than any other team did this season. 29 points was scored by that Bills offense. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more out of the defense.
Well,
Sean McDermott.
I reserve the right to this, but I hear that. And if you're going to go draft here, you need help on the back end. You need help on the line. You need to get guys yeah. that can make tackles and make plays. They don't have enough
right.
of them.
They Sean McDermott don't. Is the liability to me. It's not Josh Allen. It's not the offense. It's always been McDermott. He's fine. He's not going anywhere. I'm not saying fire McDermott. But in these situations, when we look back and we can say what has been the constant when the Bills haven't gotten over, it isn't Josh Allen doesn't play well. It's not
one
the offense
game,
doesn't produce.
Cincinnati.
That
Cincinnati,
was,
that's
that was
on
rough.
The, yeah.
Yeah, that was rough for everybody. That was just a poor team performance. But, you know, whether it's not having James Cook out there, your defense allowing 32 points, your special teams giving up a big punt return that leads to a touchdown, this all falls on Sean McDermott.
Now, go back to the first Houston playoff loss. Like, that's Josh in his infancy, and okay, he wasn't in the top three reasons why the Bills lost that game.
Right.
First loss to Kansas City, FC Championship. Okay, maybe you weren't ready for that spot, but every other one of these losses, it's on the D.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they fortify that defense here as we get closer and closer to April in the NFL draft. We've got a lot of time to pick apart some of these prospects. Of course, we have the combine about a month from now in Indianapolis. So we'll, and that'll probably be likely the next time we hear from Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean as far as what their plans may be in building their 2025 team roster. Great to have Thor on with us this afternoon from Mobile.
Yeah, we got time for your calls on the other side at 866-4FAN, 866-4326. I have another take that I want to kind of put the rest here. When we get back on Monday, I really want to just kind of start new here. Don't want to talk about the Chiefs, but there's one thing going around online. Just stop, people. Stop, please, about this game.
There's a pretty big occasion happening tonight in Buffalo. It's a special occasion, and man, my wish is that this occasion could be celebrated during happier times, and I'll explain what's going on and why on the way next. And we'll take more of your calls, as you mentioned, Gino, 866-4326, our phone number, 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.